Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your power. I thank you for allowing us to realize that as the family of God, we have opportunities to redeem our families. We have opportunity to get our lives in such a way that not only our families, but our communities can be blessed. But the only way we're going to be able to do that is through you. We have no other way. We have no other source. It has to come from you. I ask you for your mercy. I ask you for your grace for every single one of us, that we would walk in your goodness, that we would trust you, that we would have concerns for other people than ourselves. Help us, Lord. Guide us, strengthen us, make us the kind of people that you would be pleased with, that we can do what's necessary to bring our families, bring our communities, bring our ethnic group, bring our country, bring what we call churches and assemblies to the place that is to the glory of your honor and grace, that we would be the priest that you would have us to be, that we would make the difference in the world that you want us to be, that we would be the head and not the tail, because we exhibit, we honor you. Now, Father, I ask you to do those mighty things. I ask you to bless everyone that has joined us on the conference line and those that will join us on the computer. But most of all, Father, give us a heart to understand this is a spiritual battle. We are in it, whether we chose to be in it or not. I ask these things for us in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen, amen, and even so, amen. Now, I have a big task for me tonight, and that task that I have tonight is to really show what exactly we need, in our communities, humanly speaking, our families, our ethnic group, and I say that because I'm a part of an ethnic group, not that I exclude anybody else, and our country, to turn this thing around. What do we need to save the family? I've gone through those lists. I may not go through it again, but all of those things make up a family. I say all of that is given in Psalm 106. This will have to be done in two parts, because there's a part in here that is so powerful, that is so great, that if we grasp it, it will change our homes in one day. One day. Doesn't mean that you'll effectively change everything in one day, but the mindset, the heart, the idea of whatever it is will be exactly where it needs to be for God to do his will. So let's go right into the scripture. Bless his everlasting name that sits between the cherubim. It's understand this. We're going to have some work to do tonight. I'm not here to play. I'm here to glorify the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, that dwells in the light that's unapproachable. Neither any man has seen nor can see. We've seen the Son. The day will come, we'll get to see him as he is. Psalm 106, verse 1. This one does not have a superscription, but I want to start out before I read it, let you see the Hebrew behind the English. In the first verse, it says, praise ye the Lord. That's English. Behind the English is one word, hallelujah. Got it? Hallelujah. It starts out with hallelujah, praise ye Yah. Now, let's go into it. Oh, give thanks unto Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of Yahweh? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment and doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Yahweh, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the Red Sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him that hated him and redeemed them from the hand of the enemies. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp and Aaron, the saint of Yahweh. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company. The flame burnt up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped a molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forget God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach? Therefore, he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them? Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of Yahweh. Therefore he lifted up his hands against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed among the nations and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves to Baal Peor and ate the sacrifices of the dead. They provoked him to anger with their inventions. And a plague break out upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, for the plague was stayed, and that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. And they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom Yahweh commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. And thus they defiled with their own works and went a whoring with their own inventions. Therefore, the wrath of Yahweh was kindled against his people, insomuch he abhorred his own inheritance and gave them into the hand of the heathen. And they that hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them. And they were brought into subjection under their hands. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their afflictions when he heard their cry and remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied, of all those that carry them captives. Save us, Yahweh, our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks to your holy name and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be Yahweh, God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, amen. Hallelujah. Let all the people say, amen. Praise ye the Lord again. That word is hallelujah. If you look at the pattern of what you see in this passage, you see a man that is grateful for what God has done, and he says that God is good. But before he tells all of the things that God had to do to execute judgment and to bring his wrath on the people, before he shows you all the things that people that don't understand God, that think that their thoughts are higher than his thoughts and think that their ways are higher than the Most High, he makes it clear that it's not God doing something negatively. He says God is good. He showed the problem within the people. He showed that the mercy of God is everlasting, but for some people, his mercy ran out. He showed that the parents brought ungodliness on the children and killed the children. And then he showed, listen, please listen, when the people turn away from the Most High God, your enemies will get to oppress you. They'll get to be over you. Now, I want you to look at what has come upon the people in America right now. Those of us that say we follow God, if you don't see the oppression that's coming, if you don't see what they have in hate speech to have us in the future locked up or to be dismissed, if you don't see, if you share my ethnicity, to see the marginalization of us, to see the prisons overflowing with us, people making money off of our people for the same thing that now they're getting rich off of. Talking about just little things like marijuana. If you don't see the babies that we have that we kill because we have taken on the ways of the heathen. We have taken on the ways of those that used to take our slave men. The slave men that were rich white landowners that would take slaves and say, breaking a buck. They would take the men and rape the men because you're too powerful, sir. You have too much mouth, sir. And if they would fight, they could take their babies and throw them in the water in Florida and let it be called gator bait. And now we want to join to that assembly of those that want to go against the Most High. The reason that I'm saying, if we want the Most High to save our families, our communities, our ethnic group in this nation, there is one thing that we need exactly. Humanly speaking, we always should know that we need the Most High. We always should know that we need his son as Savior. But what do we need, humanly speaking? And the reason that I've broken this up into two parts is that answer to that question is so powerful that I had to deal with it by itself. Let's go to verse 23. Verse 23 is going to speak of a people that has everything that people right now want. People want miracles. They want miracles on top of miracles. If you give them miracles, they would follow you. We tell you now, if I were the devil and if I were not restrained by God, I'd give every lying prophet a miracle. I would let him raise your child from the dead. I would let him heal your sick mother, your brother. I would let him give you everything you want. And you never listen to Yahweh. If he did not restrain, there are so many people, give me the stuff, that they would never obey. Never. And I could make you do anything because you do it to get what I give. If we're going to be the priesthood of the Most High, you better understand that the Bible says the Levites did not get an inheritance. They did not get an inheritance in the land. And it would look like they got the smallest part to the uninitiated and the unskilled eye in the word. Everybody else got some land over here in the north and the south and the east and the west, some by water. But he said the Levites don't get a portion. But he says, I am their portion. I am their portion. I would submit to you, and I do submit to you, that if we are the people of the Most High God, if we really are a royal priesthood, that means children of the King and a priesthood before God, then Yahweh is our portion. If that's not enough, everything that you take, you are exchanging that for the portion that God wants you to have. Does that mean God won't give us lands? God forbid. I didn't say that. Does that mean God won't let you have stuff? God forbid. I didn't say that. But his portion for his inheritance is himself. And I got everything that I want you to have when I want you to have it. Now let's go into our work. Our work. What exactly does it take, humanly speaking, for us as people, as humans, to save our families, communities, etc., and nation? Listen to verse 23. Therefore, he said he would destroy them. That's because he had given them miracles. That wasn't enough. That's because he had given them miracles time after time. They still wouldn't listen to him. And then they made a golden calf and they did a lot of stuff. So if you want to get to the conclusion of what the matter was that he's talking about here, he says, therefore, he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach. The real question is, do we have anybody that will stand in the breach? Let me change my voice. Do we have anyone that will stand in the breach, that will stand in the gap, that will stand in that is broken and hold things together so that God will not continually destroy our families? He allows things to happen to us that ought not so to be. Our families are destroyed. We have sisters and brothers and cousins that will not marry, that lay up. We are standing in the breach. We have people practicing pedophilia. We have a Congress and a Senate that's voting on you speaking against that. Are we going to stand in the breach? They have TED Talks right now, normalizing that where they get taken advantage of our children. We have preachers now. Every week you can find a preacher, if you look on the web and know where to look and I do, that has either killed somebody or raped somebody or cheated on their wives, or they cheated with a woman or a man, or they've taken the money and beat the people out of money. If you got that in your churches, in your assemblies, don't complain about your politicians. If you don't have anyone in your church, your assembly, and your family or community to stand in the breach, how dare you complain about any president, any congressman, any senator, any county official, anybody else? Moses, he stood in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Humanly speaking, how does that work? Someone standing in the breach. That's something that God had mentioned many times. So I want you to get a picture of what standing in the breach is. Genesis chapter 18, 23 through 32. If you're writing this down, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to tell it to you. Genesis chapter 18, 23 through 32. Yahweh God came in human form and met Moses. If I got that back, was met Abraham. And when he met Abraham, Abraham had a meal fixed for him. Sarah fixed her part, and the servant went and got the kid, that K-I-D, talking about the goat, and they fixed it. And Yahweh and the two angels, messengers that was with him, they ate. Then the Bible said the two messengers went on towards Sodom after Yahweh had said this one thing: shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm going to do, seeing what kind of man he is, and all nations of the earth will be blessed through him? When God told him, I'm getting ready to destroy Sodom, I'm going to destroy them, I'm going to wipe them out, Abraham begins to stand in the breach. Yes, Sodom was guilty of the wickedness. Yes, Gomorrah and Sodom were guilty of wickedness, ungodliness, homosexuality. They were not being hospitable to people. They were wicked. They would do all kind of murder and things like that. And they had neglected the opportunity that they had when Melchizedek came in Genesis chapter 14 and was with Abraham. That was like, that was no big deal. They had not paid any attention to the God of Abraham that saved them from war. But God said, I'm going to destroy it. Abraham said, wait a minute, wait. Will you destroy all these people? What if there's 50 righteous? What if there's 40? What if there's, you know, he just kept going down. Yeah, 50, 45, 40, 35. He went down to, what if it's 10? Y'all, he's standing in the breach. He's saying that they deserve it, but don't, please, don't destroy the whole nation. Don't destroy women and children and everybody. Stood in the breach. It's called intercession. He was praying. You might not see that he's praying, but anytime you are making petition to the Most High that has the ability to do what you want done for someone else, that's standing in the breach. But there was not 10 righteous men, but because Abraham had stood in the breach, found one man, and he had daughters, and he brought them out. He brought the wife out, but she turned him back into a pillar of salt. Standing in the breach is what we need today. God's judgment is on us. Look at everything that we do. We fulfill many times, even in our churches, let alone our families, and definitely our nation, everything that's in Revelation chapter 21 and 8. Write that down, precious love. Revelation 21 and 8. Revelation chapter 21 and 8 talks about the fearful, the unbelieving, the murderers, the abominable, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars. The word of God said they will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. It says that it is the second death. We have all of that. We need today someone to stand in the breach. All of these maladies and things that are coming upon us are not things that were designed in his holy purpose for us. So he stood in the gap. Here's another man that it talked about that stood in the gap. His name was Phinehas. I'm going to have Anne, if she will, to give you Numbers 25. Numbers 25, verses 7 through 12. In Numbers chapter 25, verses 7 through 12, there's a whole thing that took place. You'd have to go back to see about Balaam 23 through 25, but I want you to see standing in the breach. You see, Abraham did it by prayer as intercession. This man named Phinehas, he did it differently. There were some people, there was a man named Balak that wanted to destroy the people of God. And since he wanted to destroy the people of God, he hired an old prophet that wanted money. I don't know. I don't mean old like in age. I just mean old because he was no good. He hired this money grubbing, cheese eating prophet. And this prophet was going to curse Israel. God wouldn't let him do it. As a matter of fact, if it wouldn't have been for the ass or the donkey that he was riding, the word of God says that the angel of God said, I'd have killed you back there. Why do you keep hitting this animal? What's wrong with you?
You don't do what I say.
And he would run in that. Why are you hitting me? Because he even let the dumb ass speak to the dumb ass man. Yeah, the man was a dumb ass. He was just as dumb as a donkey. He was stubborn against God. God told him, don't go. I want to go anyway.
Balak said he could promote me. I want to be promoted.
So anyway, the man wanted to be promoted. And the angel of God told him if he wouldn't have been for them, I'd have killed you back then. So he went on to get the money, and he couldn't curse Israel. So since he couldn't curse the people of God, he told Balak what to do. Get the beautiful women, get the women to be friends with the guys, and they go in with the guys and tease them. Because I've read a lot of this in Josephus as well. Tease them, get them aroused. Don't give them none. You know what I mean when I say don't give them none? Girls, women, you know what I mean? Men, do you know what I mean when she won't give you none? Don't give them sex. And if you do pull back, make them want it. And then invite them to come and have sacrifices in your assembly, and it'll be okay. Well, when they did that, he knew that God would curse Israel. And so one day these people came out there, they had gotten so big and bold. They had gotten proud in their dirt. It was almost like they had a parade doing their dirt, coming in front of the people, doing their dirt. And you know what? I feel like the Lord want me to read these five verses. And you know, I just want to listen to them. Numbers, because this is really like the conclusion of the matter. It's not even the full conclusion, because some people mess up after that. But let's listen to it. Numbers 25 and 7. Here, the man is going to stand in the breach. The man is going to stand in the gap. It's Phinehas. The Bible says, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, this man with this woman out there doing their dirt, Carmi, and you can read the rest of it. He said he rose up from amongst the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into his tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so that the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And Yahweh said to Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. This man, because he acted, this man, because he stood up and said, this is abominable. This is destroying the family of God. This is destroying everything that God has set up. This is going against God's law. This is wickedness. You're teaching wickedness as if God won't do anything about it. Moses didn't tell him to do it. Aaron didn't tell him to do it. This man was zealous. He stood in the gap, because later on in Psalm 106, it talks about him. Now listen to verse 12. This is very beautiful. It says, wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. Let's go back to our text. Psalm 106, verse 23. Wherefore he said he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach. I want to show you what Moses did. We saw that Abraham, he begged, he pleaded, he approached, he drew near to God to make an intercession. Phinehas did some action to stop the dirt that was going on, that was bringing in judgment. Have you done anything like that in your home yet? Have you done anything or said anything in your community yet? Oh my God, do we care? Do we care? Do we care about being accepted more than we care about the judgment that's coming on family members? Sometimes it's our dad, sometimes it's our mom, sometimes it's our sisters and our brothers that we love, sometimes it's our community, sometimes it's people we don't care about like we should. Would to God we'd have the heart of God and care. If God cared enough to send his son, how dare we not care? We don't care. We don't care to step in. And men, I'm talking about us in particular. The women, yes, they're included, but I'm talking about men. He made us first. He made us head. We are the ones that usually start the wars. Yes, we are. We are the ones that usually get the women pregnant and leave them with babies. Yes. Most of the time, it's you are the ones that's paying them in the club to strip and be naked. Yes. As many times as us. It's us. It's us. Men messing up by the numbers, and God is bringing his judgment. Let's look at Moses. What did Moses do? They built a calf after Yahweh had 10 plagues in Egypt and done his powerful stuff and brought them out wealthy. I'm talking about very wealthy. And they built a golden calf while Moses was up in the mountain receiving information from Yahweh to teach them how to be the nation above all nations, that all nations could learn from him. Now, listen to what happens in verse 10. I don't think I even told you. It's Numbers 32, verse 10. Yeah, and I said Numbers in this Exodus. Yeah, I just, you know, that's what they call a brain thing. I don't want to say that word on the end of that. I had a brain freeze. I'll use that one. And I'm giving you time to write. That's what I'm doing. Exodus chapter 32, verse 10. Now listen to what the word of God say. Now, therefore, this is what God says. Let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. And I'll make of you a great nation. And Moses besought. Notice he besought. Moses is actually entreating. He's interceding. He's begging. Moses besought Yahweh his God and said, Yahweh, why does your wrath wax hot against the people which you brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Wherefore the Egyptians should speak and say, what mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Listen to what Moses said here. Turn from your fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swear by your own self. And you said, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land which I have spoken will I give to your seed, and they will inherit it forever. And Yahweh repented of the evil which he sought to do to his people. The only thing that's going to save our families, our nation, our ethnic groups, the only thing that's going to save, humanly speaking, is someone somewhere to stand up in the breach and do what's necessary to call people back to the holiness of God, to the fear of God, that God is not playing with us. He is not playing. Do you know that the Bible makes mention of this many times and throughout the scriptures? I just want you to see. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16, you'll see the prophet speaking for God, lamenting that things are bad. I want you to hear what happened. I want you to hear this 16th verse, and those that turn to it, I'm going to go back and give you the context, but I want you to just hear the verse because it's so powerful. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there were no intercession. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and in his righteousness it sustained him. There was no intercessor. Do you know who Yahweh really brought to do it? Because man wasn't doing it. He brought his own son to do these things. But look at what happened at the time when there was an intercession needed. In the 12th verse of Isaiah 59, then I'll read back down to it. And you tell me if that's any different than what we're going through right now. Isaiah 59 verse 12 says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us." And I'm not going to tell you that I've always been exempt. I was part of the problem. But by his help and by his breaking me down, by him busting my tail, as I call it, I'm now part of the solution. I pray to God that he will humble every man, woman, and child that's disobedient and bring them to him, that he would wound them enough that when he heals, that they will say, yes, Lord, you did it because not only that you love me, but you have a purpose for me. You have a purpose for my family. You got a purpose for my community. You got a purpose for my street out here. You got a purpose for every city that we're in. And so he says, our sins testify against us, our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. Iniquity is lawlessness. In transgressing and lying against Yahweh and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, judgment is turned away back.
backwards. Do you understand what we need for healing in our families? What we need for healing in our community is judgment to come back. Do you know you can go to jail for spanking a child that needs that rod of correction? But you can kill the baby outside of the womb. There are certain ethnic groups. You can kill somebody in another ethnic group, and it's okay. If you got enough money, sometimes you can rape somebody and get community service.
Let somebody else get locked up. We have people that in the home, men will mistreat their wives. He got girlfriends. What you got a girlfriend for anyway? You have no intent to marry her. She is not your sexual toy by the order of God. I'm standing in the breach. If you're fornicating with a woman, stop. If you're fornicating, homosexuating with a man, stop. 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 Don't let God's judgment get you like that. Stop. He's watching. He's watching. It's not okay for a little while. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of poison inside of a block of rat poison will kill the rat. It'll kill it. I promise you it will. 0.0005% will do it. He says, judgment is turned away backwards. Justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. The saddest thing is, one of the saddest things is, if a woman in a church, or if boys in a church tell the truth and say that the pastor has gotten me pregnant, if it's a woman, or he has seduced me, or has some kind of sexual relationship with me as a boy, you know what they'll do in the church? They will ostracize the boy. They will elevate, say, let's forgive the pastor. All his sin, he comes short of the glory of God. Where is somebody going to stand in the gap? Phinehas wouldn't have stood for that. Moses wouldn't have stood for that. Abraham would not have stood for that. He would have said, Lord, spare the city, spare that church, and deal with the one that's guilty. Who are we? That we should not care about the things of God. If you don't care about the people, think about this. He sent his son to die for them. How can you not care and say you're on the same team and you care about the kingdom of God? It's time for us to grow up and reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that will be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and slight and craftiness, whereby men lie in wait to deceive. Bless God's everlasting name. Verse 15 says, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, because there was no judgment, and he saw there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. For his arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness sustained him. Are you getting a feel for the heaviness of this chapter, or is it just me? If it's just me, then it's just me, but I know I'm telling the truth. I'm giving it to you without chaser. I know I am, because this is the word of God. I want you to feel something. In the book of Jeremiah, he talks. And Jeremiah has the same kind of thing that he says. Jeremiah is going to be, when you write it down, Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Jeremiah 5, verse 1. Jeremiah is in a horrible time in the life of the people of God. Israel has already been taken away. The northern part has been taken away in 721 and 22 BC. Now, Israel is Judah, the southern part, is getting ready to be destroyed, and the temple is to be burned. The Spirit of God is going to leave that place. You see that when you read the book of Ezekiel. But listen to what Jeremiah 5 and 1 says. This is when the nation is getting ready to be destroyed. I want you to see that. And this would be what we call the equivalent of the called out people. We call it church. We call it assembly. This is for them in particular. This is the family. All of Israel was, they really were family. It said, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now. It says, see now and know and seek in the broad places thereof if you can find a man. If there be any that will execute judgment and that seeketh truth, I will pardon it. Do you understand? When I say, what can we do? What do we need humanly? We need something that would cause Yahweh to pardon what we've done.
that he would see a correction. There is no my people that are called by my name, humbling themselves, seeking my face, turning from their wicked way, that they are being healed unless they realize what they have done is wrong. Somebody got to stand in the breach to call them to say, look, we got to humble ourselves. We got to pray. We got to seek his face. We got to turn. We can't keep doing what we're doing. He is going to judge because his holiness demands it, and he's not a liar.
He says, and though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. I'm going to be kind, and I'm going to take you to Jeremiah chapter 7 because it deals with the same issue. Why is this 106th Psalm so important? It's because that 106th Psalm shows you that here's the people that had every opportunity to excel, every opportunity to lead the nations. And it says, and it starts out saying, the Lord is good. And I want you to understand when people don't read the Bible, oh my God is a God of wrath. How ungodly is your filthy mouth when you understand all that he's done and what they're doing to the widows and to the orphans and what they're doing to the elderly and what they're doing to his holy name with the privilege that they've been given. With great privilege when it comes to the Most High comes great responsibility. Bless his everlasting name, and I will not take it back. Jeremiah, during that same time in the 7th chapter, which is 2 chapters after 5. See, you have 5, you have 6, you have 7. Okay. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, or the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim this word, say, hear ye the word of Yahweh, all of Judah that enter into these gates to worship the Lord. I want you to go to the gates where people are doing worship, that they are spiritual, that they are doing spiritual things, that they are praying and offering sacrifices. 3. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, that means the Lord of hosts, that means of armies, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doing, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Listen, trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. That means the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh, these buildings. These are his. Verse 5. For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever. Notice, if you will do what I said. See, humble yourselves. Turn from your wicked ways. You already doing the prayer thing. You already doing the worship. But you got to turn from your wicked ways. You got to seek my face. In other words, I'm getting ready to destroy you. But if you'll amend, I won't do it. I won't do it. Number 8 says, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. I want you to hear what the spiritual temperature was in Jeremiah's day. And I want you to look at the temperature spiritually of the family of God today that we call ourselves the family of God. And I want you to look at it, especially those that share my ethnicity. And I want you to look at it with even more particularly those that share this same nation with me. It says, will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense to Baal? In other words, make your petition to something else, anything else that will fulfill your needs, fulfill your desire, because burning incense was a petition. It was a prayer. That's a form of prayer. And burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Do you know the word delivered means saved? It says,
Will you commit adultery? Will you murder? Will you steal? Will you make covenants and swear falsely and come to my house, to come to the house that records my name and say, we are saved to do something, to do this. We're saved. The temple of God is here. We're the children of Israel. Once we're saved, we're always saved. We were saved so that we could live what is called a carnal Christian. We are saved because the grace of God will allow me to commit adultery and fornication and not be married and not trust God. We are saved to do that. That's what they meant when they said the temple of God, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, is that we are the people of God. Jeremiah is lying. He will not cut us off. He had already done it for the people 40 years in the wilderness. He says, you say you stand before me. And you say, Mom, his mercy is everlasting. It's not to you if you don't amend your ways. His mercy is still there whether you obtain it or not. His salvation is there whether you walk in it or not. Verse 10, memorize this scripture, you all. And you come before me in this house, which is called by my name, which is holy. Because when we talk to pray, hallowed or holy be your name. And say, we are delivered to do all these abominations in this house, which is called by my name. Listen, is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now to my place, which was in Shiloh, where I first set my name at the first, and what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. So he destroyed the temple in Shiloh, the place where they would meet when Eli was there. We're not going to talk about that, but I want you to hear this 11th verse again as we move on. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers? You rob people of the word of God by giving them your word. He robbed the widows and the orphans like Samuel's sons did, Hophni and the other Phinehas. Is this what it becomes, a place for you to do business? Well, Jeremiah has more to say on that, and it's very good. But he says, you've turned into a den of robbers. What does Jesus say about that in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 12? I want you to see how the Bible is connected. I need you to understand. If I've already shown you Phinehas stood in the gap, if I've shown you Moses stood in the gap, if I show you that Abraham stood in the breach, I'm not going to leave out the Messiah. I'm not going to leave out the main one. And so the Bible says in Matthew 21 and 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. What are you saying? My house is the house where those that can approach my Father come to and make intercession for the people, where they come and hear his word and that they can teach the people to avert God's judgment on them and to rule and to show the other nations the glory of the honor of the Most High. He says, this is what my house is supposed to be. Now you say Phinehas, when he went in with the spear, you say he went in there kind of abruptly, and did not the Lord save you do it? Is that important, you all, if you really care? But where did Jesus get that kind of statement from? It's in the Bible. It's in Isaiah chapter 56, verse number 7. You see, the people of God had done so much dirt, and they had gone outside of his will. And so he was talking about how he would bless the eunuchs and how he would bless the strangers in the future. But notice what he said would happen in his holy mountain. Verse 7 says, even them, talking about the other people that would be brought in to learn about him, I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. I will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Is there anybody that prays? Is there anybody that will serve God in spirit and truth so that judgment can be done, so that his wrath does not have to come on us as if we are the children of disobedience?
Is your house a house of prayer for your family? Is your house the house of prayer for this country? If it's not, then why are you calling yourself worshiping? I want you to understand the house of prayer. This is what the Bible talks about, and this is what we need. And I want to show you, I'm getting ready to close it down. But I want you to see our part in that. If you go to James chapter 4, verse number 8, and then after I deal with James chapter 4, verse 8, I'm going to go backwards to the sixth verse so that we can get the context. But I want you to get verse 8 first. James says, draw nigh to God. That is the job of the priest. Other people could not come in and go to the holy place. You definitely couldn't go into the holiest of all. It says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. This is the call of the brother of Jesus to put you in the position, to put me in the position so that we can do something about this pedophilia, that we can do something about all our fatherless children, black and white, so that we can do something about these single women that's being used as whores, or these women that are using men as if they're playboys, and you're paying and you're keeping them up, letting them drive your car, let them buy their own car. Let them learn to be a man. Quit taking these men and think that you as a woman got to raise us. That's God's job. It's not your job. If he won't learn it from his mother, if he won't learn it from his father, then some of us men need to stand in the breach and help them. It's not your job as a woman to raise a child that's going to grow up and think he's over you because he's a male anyway. Hear the word of God and learn his order. Learn his order. We men need to come together and say, we're going to be breach builders in God. I've been reaching out to brothers. I've been praying. I don't want my Father God to know I know these scriptures. And I say, well, it's somebody else. Here am I, Lord. Send me. So let's get the context of this. The Bible says in James 4 and 6, it says he giveth more grace. I know you'll hear evangelical preachers say that God give you grace and you can't do anything to earn any grace. You can't do anything to get more. Believe the Bible. Don't care about what they say. It said he giveth more grace. You say, well, he gave it. Well, I hadn't finished reading. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, the one that's not humble, but gives grace to the humble. You want more grace? Humble yourself more. What will the grace of God do? It will teach you to deny ungodliness. It'll teach you to get away from worldly lust. It will teach you how to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. You will be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, not only for you, but for your family, your community, this whole nation. You will be, humanly speaking, one that's standing in the breach. So what's the steps to that? The first one is stop being proud, learn to be humble, and he teaches you how to do it. Watch this first step. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. One step. Submit yourself to God. Not talking about submit yourself to the Spirit, and you don't know what the Word of God say. People will tell you, you can't eat this, you can't do that, you can't do this. You're going to go to hell if you take a drink. No, submit yourself to God's Word. Step one. Number two, resist the devil. You must know what the devil teaches. You must know what comes from him and resist it. And then it says he will flee to you. Step two. Three, then draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now listen to verse 9. I want you to hear this. Be afflicted. Let things bother you to go on in your world. Let things go on with your family. Be miserable over in spirit. Learn it. It says, be afflicted and mourn, because he's promised if you mourn, you'll be comforted. Be afflicted, mourn and weep. You don't feel anything. Lord, help us to feel. Help us to feel when we see these children are being stolen. Help us to feel when we know they are being raped. Help us to fear, God, when people are just being shot at random. Help us to fear and mourn when the government will take people's property and lock up saints and people are being beheaded in other countries. Be afflicted, mourn and weep.
Let your laughter be turned into mourning. You know, keep rejoicing in your wickedness. These dirty jokes are not for us. Some things are just not funny. You think it's funny because this comedian is saying it and you know it's wicked. You think that we put people on the stage and you know they got a wicked lifestyle, but they sing in Jesus. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Listen, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. That's the job of the priest. And that's how you get elevated in that position. Let's listen to one more passage on that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Standing in the breach, standing in the gap is actually putting yourself in the position that the Most High can use you to avert his judgment on people. Now, the Bible talks about what we have as the children of God. And when after he puts his laws or write his laws in our heart, I didn't read that. You know what? I'm going to read it, although I told her to start at 19 because people teach us to be lawless. So I'm going to go ahead and read Hebrews 10 and 16. I must need to do it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, when it's talking about what God had said in Jeremiah 31 and 31 through 34. Yes, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. It says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after that day. These are the Hebrew people. In those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds will I write them. So when people tell you, you don't have to follow God's law, why is he writing in your heart and in your mind? You better learn which laws to put in there so you won't be iniquity or lawless. It says, in their sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. Notice the ones whose sin and iniquity he's not going to remember. It's the one with his laws written in their hearts and in their mind. Then it says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. There's no more animal sacrifice. And it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This is temple talk. This is talk. High priestly talk. Remember, we are considered the body of Christ. He is the high priest. He is sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's not going into the earthly holiest of holy. He went into the real one, heaven. And that's why the Bible says we are seated in heavenly places in him. Oh, you're going to stand in the breach. Oh, Father, help me stand in the breach. Oh, Father, help my wife stand in the breach. Help us stand in the breach. Our world, people that I know today, some of them are being burned, have acid thrown on them. We have people doing everything, trying to design every way to take and make it where we can't even use our vehicles just because they say so. Confiscate our money. Confiscate our land. Keep us from serving you, Father. It says, having therefore, brethren, to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way. In other words, instead of a dead animal, a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Listen to the priestly talk for us. Listen to the priestly talk. I want you to hear it. Let us draw near. That is the term when the priest would make the sacrifice. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Let us consider one another unto love. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together in the manner as some is. You're going to stand in the breach, and you have people that's going to stand in the breach. Work together. You don't have to be this island over here. I pray for a lot of ministries. Yahweh has summoned me to pray for a lot of ministries. If there's not something that's so egregiously wrong that I have to ask God to cut it down and shut them down, and if they're doing something is worthwhile for somebody, I can pray for God not only to bless what they do, but to increase, But if we are not drawing near, if we're not standing in the breach, you think you're going to do it all by yourself? He didn't design it like that. You say, I can't find anybody. Pray that he will send laborers into the harvest. Pray, pray, pray.
That's what the Bible says. And I was going to give you all a little extra, but I'll do it when I go into the next time. I'll bring up some stuff in Ezekiel where people had to, they weren't in the gap like they should. What they were doing is they were giving lying words. They were giving words of comfort. They weren't giving words of warning. Now let's recap. Go back to Psalm 106, verse 23. To a group of people that God had done miracles for. To a group of people that he had shown his magnificent power. This man starts out this first verse by saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, give thanks to him. He's good. He's good. His mercy endureth forever. Do you know how good God is to allow someone to stand in the breach for somebody, somebody other than himself? Do you know how Christ-like that is? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was on him. He bore it. Can you bear something in your heart for others? Can you bear something in your heart and love the people in your neighborhood, your city, your state, your family? Pass them liking what you do. Sometimes you'll have to be what they call harsh. You got to do God's will. That's why it's important to hear his word, draw nigh to him, hear his word, resist the devil assimilating, purge out the leaven in your own life so that you can see clearly how to help your brother with the mote that's in his eye. This is our message for tonight. If we're going to save, help our communities, humanly speaking, the one thing we got to do is stand in the gap. We got to prepare the breach. And the only way we're going to do that is we got to care enough. And it's got to be done in the right way. It comes prayer and action. Prayer and action. And when you pray, as you draw near to God, you're asking him to change hearts. There were people that were saved when Moses did what he did. There were people, at least Lot and his two children, they were saved. There are people that were saved when Phinehas did. Yes, there was some God had to execute judgment, but what if he had stood in the gap? God was so pleased with Phinehas, he gave him a covenant of peace. And the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, not care, where would we be? Now I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll go into our discussion. Eternal Father, King, the one that cared enough to send your son, the one who, if you executed judgment upon us all right now, you'd be righteous, you'd be holy. But because you're good, and because you have mercy, you have allowed us time for repentance. You have allowed for us time for someone to stand in the gap. You've shown in your word that you look for someone like that. Put the weight on our hearts that we would enter into your plan of salvation, that we would enter into going out there to be in the harvest, even although it means many of us may be killed, hurt. But if it's to your glory and to your praise, let us be the kind that will not fear the man that can kill the body. But that's all that he could do. But rather fear you, who after you've killed body and soul, can cast body and soul into hell. So Father, help us. Help men, families, husbands and wives that are in hell, that when they try, even if they tried to stand in the gap, they can't because their prayers are hindered, because they're fighting in their home. How can you lead when your own home has a breach? Help every home that's like that. Help every person that has turned away from you. Do like Jeremiah said, and amend their ways so that they can be the kind of people that can stand up for somebody else and not just complain. Father, help our words be of such that when we tell the truth to people, when we rebuke, trying to get restoration for them, Lord, if they won't hear, Lord, we ask you to chasten. Chasten, Lord. You say you scourge every son. Father, if we can't help bring them back, then Father, do what's necessary. I'd rather see them go into life with one hand
or with one foot cut off and ending the life, or with one eye put out, Lord. In other words, whatever you have to do, do it. Help us. Help our communities. Help us, Lord. We black people here, we've been beaten down like dogs. Black people in Colombia, in Mexico. I see even in India. Lord, look at us. There is something about us that the world hates. And if it hates it, it's got to be something that Satan hates. Lord, lift us up. Lift us up to lift your name again, to be the biblical, godly morality of this country, as it should be. Lord, help America. We want to say we're a Christian nation. Let us be a biblical nation. Let us not just take the generic name Christian. It can be anything, with the Pope kissing a Muslim man and saying that one. Light can't be with darkness. The Quran can't rule with your word, Lord. It can't do it. We can't have a heaven where men can have sex with men and virgins and all of this when you say no dog, no thief, none of those things can enter in your kingdom that defiles. Help us, Lord, to make righteous judgment and to do what's necessary to be the true ambassadors of your kingdom. I ask this for all of us and all of those that are on our page, in this thing we call Facebook, on our podcast, or on our YouTube channel, or anyone that hears what I've said and they go repeat it. I don't need credit, Lord, it's your word. Help us to stand for you and stand in the breach as the people of God, looking for justice, looking for righteousness, looking for mercy, looking for loving kindness, by being faithful and knowing that you are faithful to your words. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. I now open our class for discussion. If there's any discussion to be had tonight, or you want to open up the conference, it's okay. I'll first open up the conference line. If there's any discussion to be had tonight, sometimes we have discussion and sometimes we don't. Okay, give me just a second, Precious. Oh, by the way, when I called my wife Precious, my son was telling me that if I didn't know you, I would think you up to something when you call her Precious. I've been calling her Precious for years. She has helped me grow in the word. How? By her being faithful and by her saying, you shouldn't do that. And she allows, without any complaint, whatever it is that I see that I need to buy to help me learn. I've never heard her complain one time. As a matter of fact, one of the things she told me, I don't know what to buy you. Everything you want, all you want is a book. You buy what you want. Is there anyone on the conference line that has anything that they would like to add to the conference, please, to the discussion? Any discussion?
That was very good. Hello?
I hear you. I'm listening now. I've had my opportunity to talk. So go ahead, my brother.
I don't have much to say except that it was very good and sobering. I like the fact that you gave various types of examples through the scriptures of what it means to stand in the gap. And if I'm not mistaken, I think you said something about the right way, but coupled with prayer. And the mourning, I think that's going to come in with the caring and being able to do what God will have us to do in various situations. So it was very good. And I thank you for the message. I thank God for giving it to you. So it is something, you know, looking at our country and how it is, and everything becomes so normalized. and we can become desensitized and dull to the things that are taking place. But if we're in the Word and can understand what's going on, then we can be faithful. So it was just a very good message. Very, very, very good message.
Well, I thank you. Going through the Psalms, just going through the Psalms, now we're at 105. It started, I mean, 106. Thank you, precious love. Bring Tim a Kleenex, please. But here's the, well, not necessarily Kleenex, what they call those napkins. I'm sweating. But here is the thing. Going through these Psalms have made me aware of some things, and it did some things in me that I didn't realize when it was happening, but seeing these patterns, seeing the patterns of how God deals with his people, seeing the pattern of how he works with his people and the things that they pray for and the way that they admit the sins and how they ask him to heal and they show the trust in him. And it seemingly does something for me. And I've been looking not only in the Psalms, but I've been looking in other places to see the same pattern. And I'm telling you now, there is nobody that I know that's great for the Lord. I want to say Yahweh, God, and all that at the same time. So like, but I don't see any pattern of anybody that's doing great things for him that's not someone that's given over to asking him to break down the strongholds, asking him to set the captive free, asking him to deal with the wicked spirits. Because I remember when Paul cast out the demon, he said, in the name of Jesus, such and such. So what we see is, you say, well, what about Jonah? Well, Jonah didn't want to do it. But the word of God was so powerful, the king said it. Jonah didn't want to pray for them, although he had gone 3 days without eating in the belly of the great fish. And I believe he was raised from the dead. He said the seaweed was wrapped around his head. He was down in Sheol, but that's another lesson. But the thing is, when we see it, what are we going to do? Humanly speaking, there's a part for us to play. God didn't build the tabernacle. He provided everything they needed when they came out of Egypt. But he didn't get out there and nail one thing. He didn't beat one piece of silver to put on the base of that pole. He didn't take one piece of what they call shittim or acacia wood and cover it in gold. He didn't make the cherubim. He gave them what was needed for them to do. And I want to be with you, but there is something you got to do. I give you my instruction. I give you my spirit. Do what I say. When they did it, his presence was there. Same thing with Noah. When people say it's all God and none of you, yes and no. God didn't cut one piece of wood to build that ark. He gave Noah the dimensions. He gave Noah the instruction. He gave Noah the ability to do it. You do it, and I do my part. Whatever part you have, I'll work in you to do it. But if you don't build it, you'll drown too. So how is it that we want God to help in our families? And you know we have, I'm talking about you and I personally, you and I, Gary, Mary, and Tim Merritt. We have nieces and nephews in our family, cousins. We have people in our family that need to come to God, that are comfortable. And yet we're talking about we love God. What is it that we need to do? What is our ark to build? What is our temple to build? What is it? And it is being obedient to what he's called us to. And a part of that is not only speaking the truth, modeling the truth, but praying. And then, Lord, we've done our part. We've mourned. We've been afflicted. We feel it. We pray for those that are sick. And we pray for those that know how to pray to pray, to help us to continue to pray so that we'll do his will. That's what I'm talking about. If that didn't make sense to you, I still can't take it back. And we pray for our other brother and sister too, that God will call them deeply into the harvesting souls. But that's what his son died for. How dare I not care for the things that the father wanted and the son gave his life for? God forbid. You got something to say, Precious, over there? Are you smiling real hard?
It was just good. It was really good. Can they hear me?
Can you all hear Andrina?
Loud and clear.
Yeah.
Loud. Is it loudly and clearly? Well, I put the adverb on it. Go ahead.
Okay, that it just reminded me of Judges, the entire book. And, you know, all the times that you said Israel sinned and they were given into the hands of this person and this nation and that nation. And then it says, and the Spirit of the Lord would come on one of the judges.
It did.
And they would deliver them. And I was thinking, and I keep thinking about Gideon because there's so much in that. But when he called Gideon, he called him a mighty man of valor. And it's like, no, I'm not.
I'm not.
But after that, what Gideon did is he blew a trumpet and he called the other Israelites, come in, the Lord is doing something. And so I was talking to you the other night about sometimes the Lord activates you. You know, it's not that you're not praying. It's not that you're not, you know, standing in the gap. It's not, but there is a time when he calls you and he activates you for something special. And it's like, that's what's happening. You know, it's like he's activating his people to pray. And it's not like you haven't been praying before. It's not like you didn't really care before. There are certain things that just didn't enter your mind, but you've been activated. And that causes you to want to activate other people. And just like you were saying, he said, pray for laborers. That's activating other people. That's bringing them into the fold so they can do the work. And so it just really reminded me of that. And it's like, I remember listening to, what's the guy that used to do, Woodrow Crow. And he
was that through the Bible?
Yes. And he was talking about when they say the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. It said that they were clothed with the Spirit.
Mm.
And, you know, they put on the Spirit. And so it's like when that is happening, you understand that it's the Lord that's doing the work. It's still you, but he's giving you something else. And we were talking about David the other night and said how he said he made my feet like hinds feet and he made my forearms to break bones.
Of steel, bones of steel. Can you imagine you pulling this metal and broke?
And so, you know, there are times when God activates his people, and this is the time, even in the time of Esther, she activated the people to pray and to fast for something. And it's like, with all the prayer, with all the churches on every corner, with all of the tambourines and the drums and the guitars and all of these churches and all of the singing that's done, and all of the altar calls that are done, look at what is in our nation. Look at it. The people are still oppressed. And so I was thinking about that when I was talking about Rehoboam. And all of those setups, those places of worship he had set up for all of his wives. And all of that was done.
You're talking about Solomon.
Yeah, Solomon.
And Rehoboam inherited it.
Right. All of those places that were set up for worship, all of the incense burning they were doing, they still came to him and said, we oppress. There's no reason if you're doing all this, but you know, if you're worshiping God and people say, quote unquote, they all the same. It's all the same. It's only one God. Why are the people still oppressed? And I say that to this nation. You have all of this. This is a Christian nation. All the channels you have with people preaching. All the radio stations you have with people preaching. All the money you collect in tithes. Why are the people still oppressed? It's because they're polluted. And their sins have separated them from their God.
Amen.
And so that was really good. I appreciate it.
Well, the Lord is working on me to He's working on me to show some things, and I've seen some things in the scripture that I've been looking at. And if a person has good Bible software, maybe even bad, maybe having good Bible software, if you're not that computer savvy, you can do more things. But there are some things that I'm going to be doing, if the Lord's will, on, you know, online, different things, dealing with some of like what you were talking about, the setup and all of this worship. Because, you know, our goal, I read a book years ago, about 16 years ago, called Harvest, that was put out by Calvary Chapel. When I was reading that book, and it was saying one thing that Chuck Smith believed in, whether, well, I don't believe in his dispensationalism, but that doesn't matter. His desire was to teach people the whole Bible. And that's what they would do. And so I try to make it my business to go through the Bible, because it always bothered me as a child, or as a very young man. I'm reading stuff I never had talked about in church. Never. Not in our, and it's like, I'm paying this money. Right. And so now that I teach, there's a lot of things that I see that need to be taught. But my desire is for our assembly is to teach the word of God. But we have formats now that wasn't available to us unless you went and paid this radio station to teach this 23-minute message. Right. And then you get to go on the radio. Now I could put on the internet, I die tomorrow, die tonight, because, you know, I felt like I could die last week when I was about to pass out. But one thing, you know, the one thing I thought about then, it's like, Lord, I got work to do for you. But see, I know Greg Monson died. And he had work that he was doing, magnificent work. Yeah. What's that guy named? The black guy that was African. Was it Samuel? What's his last name?
Is it Morris?
Yeah, Samuel Morris. Mm-hmm. That story make you cry. Yeah. How he had to learn English. And how he changed the people in New York. Yeah. But he was a man giving over to prayer so hard. And the word of God. And so the point is that if I would have died, it was like, well, my wife this. It was not about my soul. I want to work for him. I did a lot of dirt. I did a lot to help build the kingdom. And I want to do it 3 times, 10 times more for the kingdom than I did against his kingdom. But I've got some things that we really want to do, because I don't want to be a topical preacher for the assembly. Periodically, we got extra. The web, and I thank God that you work with me in doing these videos, that we can do this, because people are, I want people to be able to go in if they don't have a good teaching, a good background. And you have people that's out there doing the best they can teaching. Remember, we knew some people. Man couldn't read well, but he was still trying to teach, doing what he could. Take what other people have on the web, or take what I have and use it. As a matter of fact, because you were telling me, Tim, as you were going through the Bible, you need to slow it down, because you put a lot, you know, you're doing all of the Old Testament in one. It's like, slow it down so that they can grasp it. And I'm asking, and I'll be asking God to help me slow it down. I don't want to bore people at the same time. I don't want to make it too simple, but we got to do his will. We got to be doing whatever our gift and our talent is for the Most High. Anything else you got?
That's it.
Anyone else on the conference line? Was there anybody on the?
I can't see you.
Okay. I didn't see anybody. I don't know how to see if there's anybody saying anything. You take my phone and see, because you have powers. I know you don't want to be on the screen, so I'm going to hand it back here like this. Is there any other thoughts or comments? Is Brother Rich on with us tonight? Because, you know, normally Brother Rich got good stuff to say. I'd put you on Front Street if you're on there, Brother Rich.
I'm on, and I'm just listening.
How you like Front Street?
Well, I see you did it. You know, is Brother Rich on tonight, you know. I just decided I'm gonna listen.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say, you know.
Okay. Well, if there's no one else they have anything to say on the conference line, I'll go ahead and close it. I'm not scared to. with anybody on the other. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close the conference line. And if the Lord's will, maybe in about 3 or 4 hours, I might make another video to deal with something else. But
you got a thumbs up, a like from Renee Davenport.
Okay, so Sister Renee Davenport gave us a like. And I just ask God to bless us and to keep us and make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us and give us his shalom, which is way more than the English word says peace. It's his wholeness. It's his wellness. It's the best that he has for his people. With that, we're closing for the night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.